Let's pray together. Jesus, we are grateful to be in your house today. We are grateful for the opportunity to worship. We're grateful for the opportunity to come here and hear your word. We're grateful for the opportunity to connect with you. Lord, we ask that as we get into the word this morning, we ask that your spirit would be present, that your truth would be present, and that somehow, God, you would transform who we are. If even on the smallest scale, Lord, we ask that there would be a little minute transformation that we would see affect change in our lives going forward from here on out. So we pray for your truth to be here. We pray for us to be open and receptive. And Lord, we ask that not me, but you would speak. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, good morning, Navigation Church. If you are joining us online, I'm grateful that you're here, Dallas Amston, and I just want to say that I invite you not only to join us online, but we'd love to have you here in person, maybe even next week, and if you hang out to the end of the sermon, we've got a very special announcement. I think you will want to join us live next week here at Navigation, but if you're here with us, you can follow along in the Navigation app. We are continuing in our series, Built to Connect, and Pastor Brent, a couple of weeks ago, he came to us and he kind of gave us an overview on how we have to connect from an authentic place. And then Pastor Aaron last week spoke to us about this idea that just like Peter, probably the connections that sometimes we hang out with, sometimes those connections stink, and Jesus is calling us to a new connection, to a new place. Well, today we're going to actually talk about the idea that we are created for connection. It is actually part of our purpose as humans to be connected to other humans. Does that make sense? So we are actually created for connection, and we're going to use a story that is the story of Zacchaeus. How many are familiar with the story of Zacchaeus? All right, so when I was a kid in Sunday school, this was like a story that we regularly went to, and back then we had the felt boards with the felt sticky things on it that you would like put the character in. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. Come on, right? We have to finish it, right? And as that Savior went his way, he looked up in that tree and he said, Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today. Oh, I'm going to your house today. Awesome. So that happened a lot when I was a kid. You don't have to applaud that. That's the least amount of singing I've ever done in my life. But it was interesting because when I was talking with Pastor Brent and Pastor Aaron about this series and they talked to me about the story of Zacchaeus, I immediately was like, I don't know what I'm going to say. It's a kid's story. But as I got into it, I was like, whoa, there is truth and there is revelation and there are things for us today, especially when we look at the fact that Zacchaeus was, I'm actually proud of who Zacchaeus was. See, we look at him as this like little short dude who climbed a tree and Jesus called him down, but he was desperate to see his Savior. Because just like each and every one of us, he too was created for connection. It says in Genesis, God made the garden, he made the animals, he made the trees, he made the firmament, he made all this. And after everything, he said, it is good, it is good, it is good. And then he made man, and he said, it is not good that man should be alone. So he made a helpmate there, because he knew that we were created for connection, these hands. We're created to hold and to touch and to reach out. These eyes were created to see. The ears, we were just made for it. So we're going to talk about this idea of Zacchaeus today, and we're just going to actually start by just reading through the story of Zacchaeus, all right? So let's go to Luke chapter 19, and we're just going to read, it's the first 10 verses of Luke. I recommend reading the whole chapter. This is all available in your Nav app as well. But in Luke chapter 19, it says, verse 1, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through, and a man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he was a wee little man. He could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see Jesus, since Jesus was coming that way. And when Jesus reached that spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once, and he welcomed him, and he welcomed him gladly. And then all the people who saw this began to mutter, Jesus has gone to be the guest of a sinner. And so Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. So we're going to just unpack this verse by verse. Is that cool? Because there's a lot of meat on the bone here. So first of all, let's just go back here. We know a couple of things about Zacchaeus from this. Verse 2 tells us he was a tax collector. Verse 2 also tells us that he was wealthy. And then verse 3 obviously mentions his stature, that he was short in stature. So in that era, in the Bible times, and in Jericho specifically, just doing a little research here, Jericho was known for its balsam exports. And if you haven't had balsam lately, right? You need some balsam wood in your life, folks. I don't even know what it is. I didn't even take the time to Google it. Roy is like, I know what it is. Anyway, Zacchaeus was a tax collector, and here's the thing. He was a Jewish tax collector, which meant he worked for the Roman Empire. And so Rome would tax people to pay for their wars, to pay for their campaigns. But what they would do is they would make a deal with the local tax collectors and say, look, we don't want to pull our resources and our local people, so hire a local Jewish guy to take care of it. Tell him he can take a percentage. So Zacchaeus could literally walk up to you on the street and say, hey, you owe a tax for going down that street today. It's one talent. I don't know, whatever they used back then. But he could actually tax people on the street as they went, and he took a portion of it. But it was well known that the tax collectors back in the day were dishonest, that they were crooked, and that they also were giving up their Jewish community to help the Roman Empire, which in that time was a no-no. All right, so we know that he was a tax collector and he was very wealthy, meaning he knew how to put the screws to the people. He knew how to get as much blood out of that turnip as possible. You know what I mean? All right, so then we also know that he was short in stature. So one thing would have been a problem for him is everybody would have looked at him and been like, there's Zacchaeus coming, go the other way. So he would have been disconnected from the community because of, first, his position. All right? So we can find our way, you know, we've got our backstory here, but Zacchaeus actually was dealing with isolation as a tax collector, as someone who was wealthy, unmerited wealth, I should say, and someone who was short in stature. First, Zacchaeus found himself isolated first because of his position. And that's something you and I need to consider, is sometimes in our life we may take a position on something and it might isolate us from our community. All right? The second thing that we find is because he was wealthy, because he was pulling people's money from them in an unfair, illegal way, he also found himself isolated from the community because of his decisions. All right? So we can find ourselves isolated because of our position on something. We can find ourselves isolated because we make a choice to isolate ourselves. See, a lot of times we like to put the blame on other people, don't we? That person did this. Well, what did you say to him? Well, I said this to him. Okay, well, maybe you made a decision there to isolate yourself. I let them have it, and now they won't talk to me. That person's so, you know, what a jerk, right? But we have to be careful because sometimes we can isolate ourselves because of our decisions, and then we know that he was short in stature, and so there were some physical limitations on him as well, because he wasn't as tall as everybody else. And so that would have actually set him apart. I don't know if the word says that he was a dwarf. You know, I don't know what it meant, like in that era, in that time, if he was a little person, or if he was simply just shorter than everybody else, and they're like, hey, Shorty, what's up? And not like, Shorty, what's up? Like, Shorty, what's up? You know what I mean? And so sometimes, though, you and I have perceived limitations as well that can isolate us. We feel disconnected, and it could be because of a decision, but maybe we feel isolated because I don't look like that person, or I don't sound like them, or maybe I'm not as wealthy as that person, or maybe I've made a life decision that, oh, maybe I'm the single mom, or maybe I'm the recovering addict, or whatever it might be, that we see limitations in ourselves that may or may not actually be true. And because of those decisions, because of those positions, and because of those perceived limitations, we can find ourselves isolated, just like Zacchaeus. But we need to understand something. Isolation is the cause of disconnection. See, sometimes we think it happens in reverse. We think, boy, I feel disconnected, so I'm going to isolate myself. When in fact, isolation is the choice that leads to the disconnection. And we'll tell ourselves a different story, but the truth is we choose to isolate ourselves. Now keep in mind, everybody, I'm not talking about your personality type here, okay? You may be an extrovert, you may be an introvert, and you can totally be an introvert and still be connected. Isolation is what happens when you close yourself off for fear of being misunderstood, for fear of being hurt, for simply fear of not being right, for self-preservation, for any number of reasons we isolate ourselves. What's amazing to me about the body of Christ is when we're called to be in connection and in community with one another, it's so that we can make each other better. But what'll happen so often is we get challenged in community and we pull away and we isolate. And we say the community did me wrong. And now I'm disconnected from the community. And why won't the community reconnect to me when in fact it's our choice that we've isolated ourselves? Isolation causes disconnection. And here's something that we need to understand too. Disconnection threatens integrity. All right? So I'm going to talk to you for a minute about integrity, and I'm going to put on my Dallas Life Coach hat for just a second. Is that all right? Can I do that for a moment? So disconnection threatens integrity. Now, if I say integrity really quickly, what's some synonyms of integrity? What do you think is integrity? Honesty. Character. Truth. What was it? Compassion, integrity, truthfulness, honesty, strong character, all of those things. So I actually, in my coaching with my clients, I actually talk about the opposite of integrity is not dishonesty. It's not lack of character. Those things are all symptoms of lack of integrity. But the opposite of integrity is actually this: disintegration. Because if you are lacking full integrity, pieces of you will start to compartmentalize and fall off, and you will actually lose structural integrity, and you will begin to disintegrate. All right, so part of the thing about being in community is that we're connected so that we don't begin to disintegrate. We are actually created for connection in such a way that we thrive best. Our character is challenged to new levels. Our health is challenged to new places. Our mindset is gone upwards when we are within a community. But what begins to happen when we are alone and isolated is we begin to start compartmentalizing parts of our life. I will shut off my emotions here because I'm not going to let you hurt me. And so I compartmentalize that, or, oh, listen, I've got to get this deal done. And so I'm going to do what I need to do to my partners to make the deal happen. Or I compartmentalize maybe the lust of my flesh, and it affects my marriage. Or I compartmentalize a financial choice. I'm like, well, maybe I'll smudge the numbers on that report. And so that's because I'm isolated. Instead of having a brotherhood and a sisterhood and those in community who are challenging me toward integrity, challenging me toward full integration. And so what we see is Zacchaeus, whether he felt in his mind that because he was short in stature, he then isolated himself. He took a position with the Roman Empire, and he said, you know what? I'm going to get back at all of those people in my Jewish community, and I'm going to compartmentalize because they cut me off, is what he was thinking. And so he then turns and begins to take advantage of them because then at least his wallet is full. But he's totally isolated by choice, and then he begins to feel like the disconnection is not his fault. Where in your life have you made a decision to be isolated? Where in your life have you purposefully disconnected? And I want you to think about this too. Where might you be shortcutting potential integrity because of the isolation that you feel? Whoa. All of this from the story of a wee little man. But here's the other thing too. When we are not connected, because we're created for connection, and God said that it's not good that we should be alone, eventually, because of the way we're designed, disconnection long enough causes desperation. And so the man who is isolated from his wife becomes so desperate for connection that he goes and finds an affair. Whoa. The person who is so isolated from the integrity of their financial situation might go and start gambling or go and start making bad business decisions and go and start doing the shortcut because they're so desperate for the validation that comes from community connection. That's right. Think of that. We have to monitor ourselves very carefully. And I know everybody thinks that I'm the extroverted guy, simply because I've never met a microphone I didn't love. But it is very easy for Dallas to disconnect. It is very easy for me to go and connect with myself alone. You know, my kids have a ton of Legos, okay? They love their Legos, and they'll build these sets. They'll take apart the nice, expensive set that I got them, and that I spent 3.5-4 hours helping them build. And they'll go and they'll make all of these other little things. And I'm not saying I'm like Lord Business from the Lego movie and that I want to glue all of the sets together after I finish them. I'm not saying I'm like that, but I'm kind of like that. But what they'll do is they want to go and they want to connect other pieces and find ways that things connect in new ways and exciting ways because the Lego pieces are built for connection. But what will happen sometimes is they'll build a mech or a machine or a vehicle and they put it together in a way that it doesn't have the integrity. So a piece will keep falling off and they get frustrated. And I'm like, buddy, what if we put another piece underneath that to support the connection? Because sometimes our connections are weak. And we need a little extra support. And that support comes from other pieces. It comes within community. So just one of the challenges today. There's a more coming. Just one of the challenges today is how can you connect in community? And it doesn't have to be a big group, my friends. It can be one-on-one with someone who is that person is what Aaron was to Moses, what Caleb was to Joshua, what Ruth was to Naomi. Because if it were up to Naomi, she would have said, call me bitter, and I'm going to be alone, and I'm disconnected from my people. And Ruth said, nope, I'm going to come underneath you and support you. I'm going to be the connection point for you to your redemption. And when we get to that point where we continue to break off, I watch my kids get desperate to get the piece to link. They get desperate for that connection to stay strong in their Legos. And I watch them do that, and I'm like, that's because we're created for that. And we get so desperate for connection. So disconnection causes desperation. And that's what we're going to see here with Zacchaeus. So picking back up here in verse 3, it says, chapter 19, verse 3, it says, Zacchaeus, he wanted to see who Jesus was. Now, there's a couple reasons. Potentially, he wanted to see how he could tax Jesus. Jesus was a celebrity. What if he's selling tickets? I want a piece of that action. There's a chance. But because of what we see in the next couple of verses, we actually see that Zacchaeus was desperate to see who this Messiah was. Sometimes you can imply, you can infer what's happened in Scripture based on what's going on around it. So he was, he wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he couldn't see over the crowd. So he ran ahead of the crowd and he climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him since Jesus was coming that way. Why would he do that? That is not a, what's the word I'm looking for? That is not a high class thing to do for probably one of the wealthiest guys in Jericho. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to hike up my sandals and I'm going to climb this fig tree. I have a feeling he was so desperate to see who Jesus was, to get a glimpse of him. And so because I like to look for big patterns and things like that, I'm one of those guys, I actually went back to Luke 18 because I was like, what was happening right before this? And it's amazing. And I know in the book of Luke, he was definitely the most strategic as far as like the historical record of the Gospels. He was the doctor who's like, I'm gonna get some of these things word for word. So I don't know, because of how the letters were collected, that these things happen in sequential order, but I find it fascinating, the pattern that I see in Luke chapter 18 to Zacchaeus' story in Luke 19. So can I take you back and we look at a bigger pattern here for a few minutes? Is that all right? So in chapter 18, verses 9 through 14, the first thing is the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. What was Zacchaeus? A tax collector. And so in this parable, the Pharisee is giving his offering and he's like, or praying, and he's like, God, look at me. Look at my prayers. Look at all of this. This like hyper-religious dude being like, look at how glorious my prayers are. Aren't they wonderful? And over here in the distance was a tax collector, and the tax collector wouldn't even go to the area of prayer because he was like, God, I'm a sinner. Have mercy on me. I'm not even worth what that Pharisee is, when in fact Jesus was like, this man's prayers, the one who came from a place of desperation for connection, those are the prayers I hear. So we've got a tax collector who was desperate in Luke 18. And then we see something else very cool here. In the next story is Jesus talking, and the little children are coming unto him, and he's like, no, get them away. Verses 15 through 17, the disciples are like, no. And Jesus is like, no, let the children come unto me. Anyone who won't receive the kingdom like a child won't enter it. And so we see a desperate tax collector who climbs a tree like a child, who does something that is not dignified in that time period. And he's like, no, I got to get desperate. I guarantee you there were no other businessmen in trees that day. But he did the undignified thing because he needed to see Jesus. And so he said, I'll climb whatever wall I need to climb. I'll climb whatever tree I need to climb. I will become like a child in the pursuit of my faith. When was the last time we sought Jesus like a child? That we were so like, imagine what'll happen when I see the Savior. Just imagine what could be possible if I'll just climb a little bit higher. Just a glimpse. And then we see another interesting thing here. The next story after Jesus says, let the children come to me. Anyone, tax collectors and all, who don't come to me like a child with a heart of needing to see, aren't going to see the kingdom of heaven. And then right after that is the story of the rich young ruler who's like, I've done all these things. I've followed your commandments. I've done all this. And Jesus is like, okay, give your money to the poor and follow me. And the rich young ruler couldn't do it, couldn't give up his wealth because it was his. And so Jesus said, it's easier for a camel to enter the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Because we get so tied to the things of this earth. What do we see later in Zacchaeus' story? He gives up his wealth. He pays people back four times. It's really cool, this pattern from Luke 18. I mean, maybe I'm more jazzed about it than you. I don't know. I really liked it. Because then the final thing that we see is in verse 35 to 43, Jesus is walking through. There's a blind beggar on the road. And he's calling out, Jesus, Son of Man, Son of Man. And Jesus kneels down and he says, what do you want? And he says, Lord, I want to see. Why did Zacchaeus climb the tree? I want to see. Wow. So we've got a tax collector who was willing to take on the attitude and the posture of a child and climb a tree to say, I want to see. And the transformation, because of the connection, caused him to give up all of that earthly wealth because he understood the riches of heaven in front of him. I love the Bible. I love the Word. So let's go back to Zacchaeus' story here in 19. So Zacchaeus is desperate. He gets up. He climbs this tree. Jesus is walking that way. And he looks up in the tree and he said, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. Okay. All right. First of all, Jesus didn't know who this guy was. Because it doesn't say, as they were walking along, Peter whispered and said, Lord, we might want to take a different route. There's the tax collector hanging out in the tree. It doesn't say it. But there's something we need to know. First of all, Jesus saw him. And he knew him. My friends, Jesus sees you and he knows you. And then he calls you. He sees you and he knows you in spite of your positions that you've taken. He sees you and he knows you in spite of the decisions that you've made. And he sees you and knows you in spite of your own thoughts on your limitations. And he calls you and says, I need to connect with you. The most powerful thing is not, Zacchaeus, come down. I want to talk to you. He said, no, I have to stay at your house today. And that's what it says there in the rest of that verse. I must stay at your house today. And Zacchaeus came down and he welcomed him gladly because he got to see. Because Zacchaeus, who was so desperate for connection that he took on the disgraceful position, that when the Savior saw him, he said, I got to go to your house today. Jesus invites you to reconnect. He invites you to reconnect today. And here's the first way that he invites you to reconnect, my friends, if you feel disconnected. First, Jesus invites you to reconnect to him. The first person Zacchaeus met on the reconnection tour was Jesus. Jesus said, I'm coming to your house today. And here's what's crazy about it. All the people saw this and they began to mutter, he's gone to be the guest of a sinner. Okay? So Jesus invites you to reconnect with him. Here's what's crazy. In the study that I did on Zacchaeus, do you know what Zacchaeus' name means? It means pure. The most deceitful man with ill-gotten gains who disconnected from his Jewish heritage and Jewish community, his name means pure. And here's what's crazy, is first, Jesus invites us to reconnect with him. And then second, he invites us to reconnect with who we truly are. Zacchaeus, you are pure. In spite of your position, your decisions, your limitations, this is who I say you are. And I want to reconnect with you on that level. My friends, who are you called to be? Who are you called to be? What is your first mention? When you first met Jesus, and you felt that warmth of the Savior, and he invited you into that relationship. What did that look like? Have you isolated yourself and become disconnected because of that? I'm here to tell you today that when you reconnect, Jesus is not only going to call you to reconnect with who he is, but he's going to call you to reconnect with who you truly are. Many of you in this room, I dare say all of you in this room, are called to do great things for the kingdom. And a little thing can be a great thing. But you cannot fulfill the destiny to which God has called you if you don't believe the person that he has made you to be. So Zacchaeus was called, and here's what's crazy. What I meant to say here a few moments ago was, by the fact that Jesus would have gone to the house of a known sinner, Jesus would have been made ritually impure by going into the house of a known sinner. But because he saw the purity in Zacchaeus, Jesus makes us pure instead of him being made impure. Right? So when you come to Jesus, he transforms who you are to who he's called you to be. You're not going to change him. The third thing we see here is when Zacchaeus is saying, you know, Jesus goes to his house with him. And there's another point of reconnection, is that first, Jesus calls us to reconnect with him. Second, he calls us to reconnect with who we truly are. Third, he calls us to reconnect with those close relationships, those relatives, those family members, etc., that we may feel disconnected from. Now, this is a hard one. No one is closer and no one will hurt you more than those close relationships. And so, where in your life do you have a disconnection with someone who's in your family? And let me say it like this. It's not that they've walked away from you it's when you think of them, you think to yourself, something isn't right and I need to make it right. Okay? When you know it's on you, something isn't right and I need to make it right. May I challenge you this week that you need to prayerfully consider how to reconnect with that member, that close relative, that close relationship. And maybe you say, no, we settled it. I feel released and all of that. That's great. That's fine. But it's when you think of that person's name, you think something isn't right yet. May I suggest that you be the yet. Because when Zacchaeus took Jesus to his house, his whole house was saved. The whole house was brought back in to proper reconnection, wasn't it? And here's what's great also is in verse 8, it says, Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back 4 times the amount. Now I'm going to come back to that in just a second. I'm going to say this about verse 9. Jesus says, today salvation has come to this house. He reconnected him to his family because this man too is a son of Abraham. Zacchaeus didn't buy his salvation, okay? It was all the faith that was happening up until that point. Zacchaeus didn't say, Lord, if I do this action, will thou love me in true King James fashion? Wilt thou thus and love me thine? He didn't do that, okay? He didn't do that. But Jesus said, this is an act of faith. This is a man who understands that the kingdom is not the wealth that he has in front of him, but it's actually the living stones of my people who are called to be in community. And so Jesus was like, man, your faith is what's doing it. The fact that you climbed the tree, the fact that you brought me to your house, the fact that you're making restitution, the fact that at every point along the way you are saying, I want to reconnect. Jesus is like, that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for someone who's not going to continue to isolate themselves. I'm looking for people who desire connection on every level. So first, he says, reconnect with me, Jesus. Second, he says, reconnect with who you truly are. Third, he says, reconnect with your family and your relationships. And finally, fourth, when we see Zacchaeus saying, I'm going to make it right with those that I've cheated, Jesus is saying, reconnect with your community. Reconnect with your tribe where you've disconnected. And in verse 10 there, and we talk about this all the time here at Navigation, Jesus is for the 99, he's also for the one. The Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. See, Zacchaeus knew something was wrong. And he said, I want to see Jesus. But little did he know that Jesus was seeking him. He thought he was seeking Jesus, but the whole time Jesus was seeking him. Because that's why he came, to seek and save the lost. Jesus was the one putting the pieces back together, looking for the disconnected pieces and saying, let me connect you to who I am. Let me connect you to my family. Let me connect you to my community. Let me connect you to the kingdom. Oh, I see that piece. I see that piece. I see you up in the tree. And Jesus is seeking you today, my friends. And so if you are here today and you're feeling that pull, or if you're watching online and you're feeling that pull and you're saying, I want to see Jesus. Jesus is seeking you today. And if you've never had the opportunity, you've never had the opportunity to say, Jesus, I want you to be my Savior. Or maybe you've said it and you've somehow made an isolation choice for disconnection and you want to reconnect. I want to make that possible for you today. So the first thing I'm going to do is, if everybody, if you wouldn't mind, go ahead and close your eyes. Lower your heads. If you're watching here online, we want to make this as comfortable as possible for you. If you're here today in this house, or if you're watching us, and you say, I need to connect or reconnect with Jesus, I want to make that possible for you. And with every eye closed and head bowed, if that's you, would you just do me a favor? Lift your hand up so I can see it. I see those hands. Thank you. And if you're home watching us online, there's going to be a way for you to respond as well. But you're going to say, Jesus, I'm desperate to see you. Yes, I see those hands. So now we're going to say a prayer and we're going to connect to Jesus. And a lot of people call this the salvation call. But just repeat after me, everybody in the room, so that nobody's saying it alone. Everybody in the room, say, Dear Jesus, I know that I need you. I want to be connected with you. And so today, Lord, I ask that you would reconnect me. For the places I've disconnected, for the places I've sinned, I ask that you would forgive me. Reconnect me. I call you Lord. I recognize you as Savior. Be Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen.